Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We missed you guys. And in a spirit of family and in the warmth of our community, this episode is brought to you all by you all and our loving members at jointhenerdclan.com. It's a fun, unique, and vibrant community of bonus podcasts, free swag, direct connections with Blake and I, early access to podcasts, and much more. So head on over to jointhenerdclan.com to become an official member of the very best community on the interwebs. So head on over once again, jointhenerdclan.com.
Look right in front of you. Right here in this room, and I mean, look what you did with all of that. Do you see it?
I see it.
You are a beautiful, resilient man. The world is a brilliant, resilient place. We fight on. Darkest before dawn and all that.
So is Lennon's life has dawn.
Okay, that's your thing. You know what I mean? I was doing my thing. Can we stay with my thing?
Yeah.
Okay. This pain is not forever. This moment in time is not forever. Nothing is forever. Except us.
We fight on.
We fight on.
Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am so glad to be back.
Oh, yes.
I'm so glad to be back, and This Is Us, and This Is Us Too, back with the PSNs, having a good time. Man, I've missed This Is Us.
Me too. Like, so very much. It's like we haven't seen friends in months. And hit it right on the head, right? This Is Us. They dove right on in.
Yes, absolutely. They got everything going right away.
They were like, oh, you miss people because of the coronavirus? So do we.
and what I mean, what a great way to introduce us back to the world.
Yeah.
Back to the people that we love. Us back to everything that we have going on. I mean, with our current events. And the show is not afraid to tackle those things. So I think we're in good shape. I feel like we are in really good shape as it relates
yes.
to that.
Yes, I agree. Okay, so we had a lot of fun things happen in this episode, a lot of really tough things happen yes. in this episode, and we're going to be diving all into it. But before we do, we would love to...
Well, we're actually supposed to do our story.
Okay.
There you go. Mary with... See, it's been a while since we've done This Is Us Two, ladies and gents. Mary is not reading the document, as always. Mary, do you have a... for those
no,
of you who
you
are
obviously
new,
do.
No, no. Well, for those of you who are new to This Is Us Two,
okay.
one of the things that we try to do for the show is give you our...
It's been a while.
Yeah, give you our personal stories. Give you something how we related to the episode and how we...
I like these characters too.
Yeah, and it's This Is Us, and yeah. the show is This Is Us Too, and we go full in, we go all in with our how we relate to these characters, and you guys are a part of it. You're part of our family just as well as everybody else, just as well as we are part of the Pearson family. So, Marvin, do you have a?
I think you do
a story. I mean, I do.
Good.
I just wasn't sure if you did.
No, I don't feel good. So
okay.
you can go.
All right, fair enough. So, My story today, actually, it's not a very serious one. Usually we get very deep and serious with these stories, but...
I think you could skip the seriousness for this episode since it was serious enough.
It was serious enough for all of us.
Yeah.
My story is, I remember hearing when Tom Hanks, too, got coronavirus.
Oh.
And, you know, I love my bride, but she has a tendency to overreact to things.
No.
Yeah. She has a tendency to overreact things. So when the coronavirus started, it wasn't that I didn't react. It was just like, all right, it's just, this is another thing. We're going to keep calm and carry on. That's what we're doing. Okay.
Not this girl.
Mary was
prepared,
dude.
Doomsday hoarders or whatever, the doomsday preppers.
Yes, that was Mary.
Boom.
We were actually watching that show just in preparation for it. And
but instead of guns, I got ramen.
So much ramen. I mean, boxes and boxes and boxes. You know, of those big BJ's style ramen. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we got so much soup and canned.
We're finally done.
Peaches. And...
We do have canned peaches still. The kids don't even like them.
So Mary went out and got all this stuff, and I was giving her a hard time for it. And I remember when it all first started. I mean, I knew it was there. I felt like it ain't gonna hit us, and if it does, it'll go away and it'll be fine. It's not that I didn't take it seriously. It's just, you know, you have that sense of invincibility. You feel like we're gonna be all right. It's gonna be fine. And then I remember we were upstairs. We had actually finished a podcast that night. I got a news blip on my phone, just like kind of how like Randall did.
Yep.
I got a news blip on my phone from Barstool Sports that Tom Hanks got the coronavirus. And I was like, dude, Tom Hanks? Tom Hanks got coronavirus? I remember thinking... Oh, this is serious. This is really serious. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because this guy is, you know, as we have all said, he's America's dad. That's what it feels like now.
Yeah, I was the Deja in this moment. I was like, yep.
And
everyone's going to take it seriously.
Yeah. And one of the listeners here was Ellen saying he got it in Australia. Yeah, he got it in Australia, but it still hit so hard for all Americans.
Forrest Gump, Woody. Yeah,
all of a sudden, you know, somebody that we all knew, it wasn't just some random jabroni that came from like Italy or that came from school and was traveling. It was Tom freaking Hanks.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, this just got real.
Oh, I'm really glad Mary got all those peaches.
Yeah, I'm so glad we have so many peaches right now. And yeah, I remember being a little scared and thinking, okay, where do we go from here?
And luckily, your bride already had all the plans. Because when you had to be quarantined the following week, I knew exactly what to do. And I already had frozen pizzas in the basement for you.
Candy here on Facebook is also saying, don't forget Rita. Yes, Rita also had the coronavirus. I will say, though, that in the pop culture aspect of it and the social awareness of it, when Hanks got it, and his wife got it too, but when Hanks got it and he said it, it was, man, I'll never forget that.
Same.
That was that's one of those weird pop culture moments that like changes things.
Yeah.
That alters how you perceive something.
Yeah.
Just like that. It was wild.
I agree.
It was wild.
I agree.
Okay, now Mary, we can move on.
Well, remember, you can find Blake and I on all sorts of social media by searching Mary and Blake. And for all of our past episodes, like This Is Us 2, our other podcasts like The Potterverse or Outlander Cast, you can find them on YouTube or at maryandblake.com. Let's get into the show. So, Blake, tell me the episode details, which you were geeking out over during the credits. You were like,
yes. Oh, yes. Because there are some special things happening in these credits. Well, first, the title was 40, parts 1 and 2. We are going to be doing one episode for the two-hour premiere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to be doing two separate episodes. No. So, we are covering 40, parts 1 and 2 in this particular episode. Both of them were directed by Ken Olin, who has, as always, directed a kabillion episodes of This Is Us. And might I say, the direction of this episode is quintessential Olin.
Agreed.
The use of light, the ease with which the camera moved mm-hmm. around its characters. Oh, man, it was excellent. The writers were Dan Fogelman, who also has written a kabillion episodes of This Is Us. He is one of the co-showrunners of This Is Us and the creator, of course. And I just got to say, yep. one of the other writers, let's get it done, girl.
Do it.
Mary, who wrote it?
Your girl Kay.
My girl Kay O'Yagan. My girl Kay. I might say she might be my favorite writer on this.
I would be surprised if you didn't say that because you always play Whitney Houston whenever she writes.
It's because she's the best.
Yeah, so we all know. We all know how you feel about Kay's writing, Blake.
Oh, man. Okay. So, Kay has written many episodes of This Is Us, including A Philadelphia Story. Mm-hmm. Hold on, let's see. I'm sorry, I apologize. I Call Marriage, yep. The Most Disappointed Man, That'll Be the Day, The Big, Amazing, Beautiful Life, After the Fire, The Dinner and the Date, R&B, A Philadelphia Story, and of course, these two episodes here. So,
agreed.
And then the last writer was actually Jake Schnessel. He served as an assistant to Dan Fogelman during his time in that show when he created Pitch. He also served as an assistant in that movie Life Itself that recently came out. And
who was in that?
Oh, geez. Who else? Who was in that film?
No idea. That's why I was asking.
Antonio Banderas was in it.
Okay.
And Poe from Star Wars. He was in it. Olivia Wilde was in it.
I didn't see it.
Okay, that's okay. And then he served as an assistant during This Is Us. This is actually his first credit for writing. And this is a good episode to be your first
Agreed.
Credit. So, Marvin, your Lemonade rating. What do you got?
I'm giving it a 4.9.
Okay, there. All right. I'll give you.
I thoroughly enjoyed this episode, except for one part.
What do you mean? Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. For me, I am giving this one a 4.8. And it's not because it's not because that it doesn't deserve more. It's not because it doesn't need more.
No.
It's a great episode.
I think our thing is going to be everybody else's thing.
It's going to be, yes, I think we're going to be.
We'll talk about it in our bads.
But I will say, except for this one thing, horses for days.
Yes.
Horses for days.
Not
this
ponies.
This was a horse. And definitely not a pony. So I'm excited about it. And it was excellent.
And for those who don't know, the horse is not ponies. If they're new to This Is Us 2 or to our podcasts, can you explain it?
Yes. It's a term that we use. Like, you know, you can't trade two ponies for one good horse. It doesn't make up for it. You can give me a bunch of mediocre episodes, but if you give me one good one, that will stand out. That matters most. And I was just really excited by this mm-hmm. episode in many different ways. All right, so what is your GBG, Mary?
Okay,
your
my good, GBG is bad, my good great. Is I think that this episode had my favorite Kate moment. And you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Kate plot lines. It's nothing against the actress. I think she does a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. I find her plot lines to be a little blah.
Sure.
And even though I know she's gone through a tremendous accomplishments and changes in her life, it just hasn't always been the thing that sticks out to me. But Kate, I think between Kate and Beth, like the women and Rebecca, the women had some really amazing spoken moments during this episode. And I just loved when Kate said, "The world is on fire. This is enough. Fix it."
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, way to go, Kate. Because how long have her brothers had conflict?
Right.
And
it's been months at that point.
Yeah, but like throughout their life.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she's been Switzerland for 40 years. And she finally said, enough is enough. You guys need to fix this.
Yeah,
and I just really, really liked that moment for Kate. The ending was my bad. Rah, 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 rah.
Yeah.
And Randall's mom took a breath.
And she's alive. Dun, dun, dun.
I was ready for it to be like Halloween. Like Walking Dead. Like zombie.
Yeah.
So did not like that whatsoever. And we'll talk about that in a little bit because I don't want to delve into it now because obviously we're going to talk about
it. Yeah, I think what we'll do is we'll take like five good minutes to do that
in
a little bit here. Well, maybe we'll just get it right off. We'll get it off the off the jump.
And then my great was, and this I know is a mixed bag for people.
Sure.
My great was seeing our nation's pain and toil on the screen as we are still currently going through it. I said to Blake that at least to my recollection, this is the first show that is covering the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. This is the first show that is covering our 2020, you know, just racial inequality and issues that we're seeing right now. Like they're able to portray it as we're currently still living through it. It's not even like we got through and have, you know, been able to come to grips fully with some of these situations. So they're tackling as we, the nation, is tackling it. And I know that it can be tough.
Yeah.
It triggered a lot of things in me, you know, like the first time that you heard the news of George Floyd, the moment you found out that Tom Hanks and Rita had the coronavirus, like all of this like took you back to it, jolting you like, oh, it's not, you thought that was bad, boom. You thought that was bad, boom. But I'm just really impressed that they decided to tackle this. I know that it took tremendous work on the writers to take whatever was their plan and just say
goodbye.
Okay. Like it makes me wonder what their plan would have been for Randall. You know, because we were all like, oh, does he come back? And it's their 40th birthday and they're not talking. Right. They had a different plan for Randall that didn't necessarily include the 2020 race issues that we're going through. You know, like he could have had some of that plot line, but this has elevated it to a completely different level. This has elevated it so it really is impacting his entire family. It's affecting him in all these different ways that really, really divides him with his family when his family has become more aware of this issue. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, like major props to the writer staff who had to take massive chunks out of their storyboard and completely rework it and take this chance to have us face the music and see things maybe from a different perspective. Yes. I also think that it is a very interesting choice to have such issues, which a lot of people are seeing on different sides of politics right now, mm-hmm. and to have this kind of a episode air literally the week before the election.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting choice.
Well, there some of the things that you brought up here, Mary, about the plan and the need to get it in before the election. Actually, Dan Fogelman commented on that in a recent interview. And that's something I think we're gonna talk about in a little bit. But there are very specific plans that they had to alter in ways that you're not even thinking, by mm-hmm. the way, yet, which is not your fault. It's just that we'll get to that in a little bit. All right, for my good, it's actually a tie.
Okay.
The first one is Rebecca's monologue about men and the way that they're supposed to mm-hmm. hold things in, be a man, do what you're supposed to, hide it, and what they have to let you in to see the little boy that's within them. And yes, it's being cut in the way that it is edited. Whew, man, excellent.
Yes.
And it's being cut between Jack and Kevin, but I think it's also appropriate for Randall as well. Mm-hmm. When he eventually talks about how when he was a kid, the person getting killed, and he just sat there
watched
and he's
it
like,
by
it was
himself.
Really hard. And he's telling Beth, and he's actually telling Malik, like, I never said any of that to anybody mm-hmm. before. And he, as a boy, experienced that. It is telling a boy about that. That is very, very, very special. Mm-hmm. And the way that all works out, man, that was really, really beautiful. But the tie part of it actually is when Rebecca repeats the question
about where are the girls?
About hey, where are the
girls?
Where's Beth and the girls? Kate says she was gone. That was not her face mm-hmm. Earlier.
Yes,
and that I think is still kind of appropriate also for mm-hmm. that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blink and you'll miss it.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where if you're not paying attention and you're not engaging mm-hmm. with the show, you'll be like, oh, she just asked again. Like, and the way that Sterling K. Brown acted it was like you saw him take a moment.
Yeah.
And no, that's okay. They're back home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a special moment where you see what's coming. And this is coming down faster. Even though this was the way that it worked out, it was that her medicine interacted with the antihistamine, yeah. But this is what's coming down the road,
yes.
for Rebecca. And this is how they're going to have to handle it. They're just going to have to be patient with her. It was sad. It was heartbreaking. And it was almost a little scary.
Yeah. And I think that scary is the right word for this episode. And I have praised This Is Us left and right for tackling really difficult and different issues, yeah, you know, like yeah. where you sit there and you're like, I don't think I've really seen this on TV before. And it's just, this is another example to me how, and this may sound so wrong, how like, I don't see This Is Us as regular network television.
Yeah, I don't see it as regular network television. It shows its face every once in a while, yeah. and that will actually get to my bad.
Yes.
Which is a great transition. Thank you, Mary. It's almost
you're
like
welcome.
You're a professional.
Hey.
Imagine that. The bad for me is the stuff of network television. And
dun, dun, dun.
And that is, hey, Randall's mom is alive. You'll never guess it. Woo, look at that. Whee! Mm-hmm. We tricked you. That, to me, was bad.
Agreed.
It was bad. I trust them to take it to the right place.
Agreed. And maybe they had to put it here. We'll talk about this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I wonder how. Well, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. And by great, of course, is having the guts to tackle these really pressing issues between COVID-19 and Black Lives Matter and the protests, and how does the nation, how do we as a nation come together? How do we discover what to do, mm-hmm. how to move forward? I don't have that answer. Luckily, mm-hmm. I'm not paid to figure that answer out. But I have no idea what the right answer is for everybody. And the fact that the show did this, but it wasn't just an add-on. It mm-hmm. wasn't like, hey, look, this is our show and we're doing this too. No, it was rooted in the yeah. story. It was rooted in the characters. It was rooted in their relationships, how they interacted with each other. Mm-hmm. All of it was rooted in what tells the best story. It's not just we, coronavirus,
yeah.
and we protests. It's not there for the sake of being there. It's there because it alters, it specifically and drastically alters plot mm-hmm. and forces our characters to make choices.
Yeah.
And those choices, as always, is a commandment of Mary and Blake, choices prove drama. Drama shows who our characters are.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what happened in this episode.
Yeah.
So that is that. You ready for the big three feedback?
I am.
Let's do it.
And we said,
that's three.
Big three?
Big three!
Marvin, why don't you take the first one?
Kelly Castro says, all of the lemons and all of the Charmin. The symmetry and flow was so amazing. The first few minutes, then the way it flowed between the timelines. William on the bus, jumping to Randall in the car. Rebecca in the maternity ward, to Madison at the hospital. Rebecca talking about having sons at some point in the episode, and Randall talking about his daughters later. So much beauty and flow. But the shot of Jack in the chapel saying, take me instead, with the flames from the candles
oh.
framing his face, speechless. This is perfection, says Kelly. So beautiful.
I just have to do this.
Makes me wanna shout.
Totally agree with that, Kelly. Flames framing his face, mm-hmm. take me instead. Just don't. Don't you dare.
Whenever I hear that, I hear Belle. Please, take me instead.
You would do that for him?
All right, the next one comes from Russell McVicker. He says, I know it won't be popular, but I didn't care for the inclusion of the material that I think were not part of the original narrative. So I'm deducting two lemonades. He gives it three lemonades overall. Otherwise, a good start to season 5, other than the ending, which was tough to take. Being a medical person, people just don't spontaneously come back to life. Rebecca's scare was the best, and drug interactions are a big concern, especially with people taking meds for cognitive disorders. The tension that continues between the brothers was well done. Exclusions during the time of crisis didn't feel right. Marvin, why don't you take the next one? Because this is a special one.
Oh, my dad said, loved the fact that despite all his personal trauma and confusion, Randall went to help with his mom. See, my dad's saying this because he knows this is what I would do.
Yes.
And he was still able to question the possible interaction between her meds and the poison ivy ointment and get back home in time to be with his wife and kids, able to see clearly enough through the fog of his own torment to focus on the needs of others.
Yeah, excellent stuff.
It was so, because literally as we were watching it, I was like, that's what I would be doing. I'd be like, why is my parent acting up? I'm in the bathroom. I'm totally peeping on their meds. I'm going to like figure this out.
Oh, yeah.
Like Nancy Drew.
I know. So, listen, the conversations that happened at the cabin, obviously, for the big three, are the major dramatic points of what the episode is all about. When they all finally get together, you know, again, this was split into two episodes.
Yes.
But this really played as one giant episode. It really played like a movie, and it did not feel like 2 hours. It started, and I felt like we blinked, and it was over.
Well, did you notice it was like 30 straight minutes with no commercials?
Yes.
And then the more commercials came, so they did come and break it up.
So in light of that, though, Mary, did end.
Okay, and let's just do this. So we're just going to like get it out of the way.
Let's just do it.
Acknowledge the gum on her foot, take a little turn to scrape it off, and then we're going to be done with it. Okay, friends? Mm-hmm. So we're hanging out for half of this episode with William and I don't even know her name.
Laurel. Because,
Laurel.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. And I got to be honest with y'all. I rewatched this episode, which is 2 hours long, and I fast forwarded through all of the William and Laurel parts.
Really?
Yep. I just kept hitting doot, 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 doot. I know you're going to die and come back. I know you're going to die and come back. I already know everything that you say. You want an apartment. Okay. Like, I don't care about new people. And I loved how Randall said, like, yes, Madison, the only friend our family has, which you've referenced before. Like, yes. Why don't these people have any friends? So this lady is not my friend yet. You know who I already forgot her name? The army girl. The girl
Cassidy.
That... Yeah. Like, why did we spend so much time on Cassidy? Do I need to actually care about Laurel right now? I feel bad for Randall, but Randall's, like, got so many people to keep track of that I do not have any emotional weight for her. And I appreciate the fact that she is somehow going to play a more significant role and that we needed to have this moment of her taking a deep breath because they couldn't do it in like the next episode. They had to do it now.
Yeah. Yep.
I almost wish though that it wasn't just like that whatever happened to her next, we got to see. Does she go to the same hospital where baby Randall is? And does she get carted off passed by Jack? I mean, maybe that's what we see next episode, but this just felt too X-Files to me.
Yeah, I wanted it. If they're gonna do it, I see what they did. I see the whole gasp. It ends with a gasp. You're gasping as viewers. It's this meta commentary on it.
I also thought like the extra meta commentary, like we're having the George Floyd video where he can't breathe.
And then
at
here
the
she
end,
is. Absolutely.
A black woman breathes,
yep,
you know,
absolutely.
As after Beth is saying, you know, we fight on. And so yes. I just loved that not, you know, that is this black woman who is able to, you know, to fight on
takes a breath
at the very end.
Excellent, Mary. Really, really excellent. Good thoughts.
That is how I make that better for me in the ending. I really did not like this ending. At all. I would have much preferred it not happen.
If they're going to do it, Mary, I think the right way to do it is to end... think of this. Think of if they ended the episode with our final quote that we just played at the beginning of our podcast. We fight on.
Yes.
And they flash back to the scene with Randall's mom. Okay? Maybe they
flash
back. You
already forgot her name.
With Laurel.
Laura Linney?
Not Laura Linney or Laura Dern.
Laurel.
Or Helen Hunt.
They're all one person.
Maybe they flash back, but they give you like the Chris Nolan Inception style ending.
Yes.
Where it's like you see the top spinning and it just barely moves.
It was like the ending of Inception.
But no, it wasn't because Inception didn't have the top fall over. Or Inception didn't have the top continue to spin. Inception made it wiggle just a little bit, and right before you think it's going to top, it ends. I feel like if they did that with Randall's mom, let's have her move her finger. Or let's have
Rigor mortis.
Yeah, like you could argue either way. Like, yeah, maybe it's her body just getting final synapses out. Yeah, like if you wanted to argue that.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted to argue she's alive, and then you open the next episode with it. I wonder if the structure of the episodes will prevent that from happening.
That's what I'm saying, is that they probably had to do this now, as they couldn't bring her back to life. Gosh, in 3 weeks or two weeks. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just too long. And what's interesting is that we start off the episode with Randall speaking to him, and she's saying, it's always been about your mother's.
Right, yeah.
And your birth mother is barely a footnote.
Right.
That's how this episode starts.
So it's
rooted in mothers, plural, and we are supposed to care about Laurel, but I just don't. So sorry, Laurel. Are we done?
Well, no, we're not done, because I have a couple of other things to say. We spent an entire episode with really complex, dense issues that I'm very proud of Dan Fogelman, K.O. Yeagan, all the writers, because all the writers took part in the room.
They took a huge chance.
This was a massive chance here. This was a swing for the fences, baby. And if it goes out of the park, great. If it doesn't, then we're gonna die trying. And in my opinion, it did that. It didn't solve issues. It didn't politicize it. It didn't say these people are right, these people are wrong. It didn't do any of that. It just said, how is this affecting our characters?
Yes.
How is it affecting the way that they think? And all of the actions that they take, I think, are organic. Whether it is the masks, whether it is how Randall and his family respond to the protests, how Kate responds to Randall in that wonderful, mm-hmm. beautiful conversation between the two outside of the cabin, and how she says, I have to sit with this for a while. This is a big deal.
Yes.
And then you end the episode with this thing that happens. Mary, do you feel like it diminishes what they accomplished in the rest of the episode?
Yes, I feel like, we have said this, that by them being in the present time, by them having coronavirus and having us relive a lot of these things, and which is very difficult for many of us, I found it to justify my feelings. So I have battled severe anxiety during this time frame. Mm-hmm. Like, I have had to go on medication again. I've had to cut out caffeine. I've had to cut out alcohol. I've had to meditate. I've had to start making my bed, which I never did. Like, what is this? But they say it's supposed to help. Like, I've had all these hard feelings, and it's been actually hard for me to watch TV and not see people wearing masks and to see people hugging, because even though it's supposed to take me away, it's actually doing the opposite right now. I'm sitting there going, oh my God, they're hugging. And so this show justified my difficult feelings. And I know that they're not going to sit in it and simmer in it and make this every single episode like, don't forget, guys, we're the corona. Like, they're not going to make us feel bad about it. It's almost going to be like what it is now. Like, we're just used to it, you know?
Sure.
So, but then to be justified in these feelings, to know that they're in this with us, that these people that I love,
cathartic.
Yes,
it almost felt cathartic. Like, these are the people that we know and love,
and it's not easy for them either.
Right, right.
But then to have this cliffhanger ending, I just did not enjoy it. So let's tie a bow on this.
Well, let me just say one last thing. The flashbacks with Laurel and William were actually really nice.
They were lovely.
It tied in, I think, everything that the show wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But instead of the coronavirus, they were tackling addiction.
Yeah.
And they were doing that as a mirror, I feel like. In addition to what does it mean to be a parent?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be a good parent? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to provide life for your family? And work around the social structures that
and the
have
selfishness,
been established.
The selflessness that needs to happen while you have
Absolutely.
This child.
Mm-hmm. And to accomplish all of that and then tack on the ending was a little tough for me. I will say this, though. not only was that the flashbacks were good, the one thing that I think can come out of this, the one good thing, is the fact that Randall has to now. Randall will face this.
Yes.
They're bringing it up for a reason, yes. Right? We said we do trust them because yes. They did it with Nikki, right? They did it with Nikki. I think that was a little different at the time, but I think I trust them to do the right thing. And how will Randall react to this? What will this inform about him? And I think that's the one thing that comes out of this where I say, okay, I'm willing to go on that train ride.
Okay, well, that train has left the station.
Yes.
We are now moving on.
I mean, the fact that we had to start the episode like this says, I think, volumes.
Agreed. Right, here we go.
Continue. Go on.
Ta-da! So, okay, so where do you want to go from here?
In what ways do you think... our characters grow in big ways.
Yes, except Jack.
That's true. Where the heck is he?
He's not allowed on set probably because of the Rona.
That's true. That's a good point.
I don't think we're going to see Jack for a long time. Literally because of the Rona.
That might be the case. He's always going to be napping.
He's always napping.
He's going to be napping forever.
All the time.
No, I think that they'll show him eventually. Because remember...
It'll just be a close-up shop. It'll be a fake baby and just a close-up of his face. His mom takes it on his iPhone.
Remember, they were shooting this episode like a month ago. Like, what you're seeing now... happened a month, maybe a month and a half ago.
I want to know, so were they all quarantined and tested so they could all be near each other?
Yes.
Or were there certain people on set that were pods? Because, even in the show, obviously, they're not always super, super close to each other. Yes, there's some people. So were some people in a pod, but they couldn't interact with... Were the past time zone people in the past time zone people pod, but they couldn't interact with the modern time people.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I got it. But that's hard, though. That's hard because you have Rebecca. Rebecca is in with all of them.
No, not with the William people.
Oh, that's true.
That's why I'm wondering, who could they kind of divvy up where it was right.
But she's with Jack and Jack was with William.
If Mandy Moore is patient zero, watch out. Watch out. This is us, staff. Keep Mandy Moore in a bubble.
That's the new t-shirt, ladies and gents. Just a picture of Mandy Moore's face with patient zero underneath. Perfect. There you go, ladies
She's
and gents.
She's the variable. Gregory's doing the right thing.
What did you think about Jack passing by William in the flashbacks?
So good.
And I really like that they didn't have them interact.
Nope.
It was just because that would have been one of those things that would have been grown worthy, I feel like, if they did interact.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they didn't is great. They just pass each other by.
Listen, they've got their man, I'm about to cry and I'm not going to let anyone watch me almost cry movement mm-hmm. going on. But I just love that moment how William goes into the chapel asking for his baby to be protected.
Yeah.
And then the person that comes in immediately following him is Jack.
Yes. Yeah. And they're both... William is letting go of a child. Mm-hmm. Jack is taking on three children. They're both praying, I think, for the same thing, mm-hmm. for family. They both want the same thing. It's just that they're approaching it two really different ways. And that's mm-hmm. why I think it works so well. Because they're doing the same thing. What also works really well in this sequence, you may call Jack's diatribe a little... manipulative, I think, when he's talking to God and don't you dare take my... it's a little maudlin.
Really?
A little bit.
So you've never been mad at God?
No.
Okay.
Because I just don't believe it. I don't...
So...
But regardless of whether or not you believe in God, who cares? Doesn't matter.
No, but that's why I'm saying, he was raised growing up in the church. This is, I think, our first time we're seeing Jack... in a church setting or having sure. his family acknowledge any, aside from Christmas inflatables, there was not necessarily any kind of religious connotation to the Pearson family.
Yeah, right.
So now we're realizing that Jack grew up Christian, obviously, and he used to attend church growing up. And I think that a lot of people who were raised going to church, as they go through significant pain, have these conversations. Mm-hmm. I've heard people say they've had these conversations, sometimes out loud.
Sure, and I can appreciate that. I think it's fine, but in terms of television...
If I was going to die, You don't think that you would be...
I would not be praying to God. I would not be.
Okay.
Because, well, I mean, it, whatever. It doesn't...
Yeah, okay, I know.
Doesn't,
I know.
It doesn't matter.
But could you get to that level of like...
I would be angry. I would be scared. But what I'm getting at is this. For me, it felt a little manipulative. It felt like, okay, this is the point where you have to cry. Because he talks about take me... and we all know what happens to Jack, of course, and how, and Mary, you even said it last night, there's a debt to be paid for this.
Yeah.
And that debt is paid eventually. I found that the dramatic irony there that worked really well. But
what, where does Aria go? Where's that place? The man with two faces, like she goes and it's like the debt has to be paid.
Yes, yes. Okay. Oh, where does she, where? Oh, my.
It ends with an S. Bravos.
Bravos. Yes. There you go. Yes. There. That a girl. Hey, that a you. Girl.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
He's saying this like, take me instead. Keep Rebecca.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a debt to be paid for that. But why that all works, why I think this scene is one of the better scenes, especially when you tack on the phone call between Jack and his dad, is the directing. This is when Ken Olin, I think, really shines. And that is the quintessential Ken Olin that I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Especially the way that he frames William in his prayers. It's a close-up on him. It's very personal. It is right in on him. But then Olin takes it even further with Jack. Yes, Jack is staring up at a hotel chapel across or whatever, but Olin doesn't care to show that. He cares to show what this means to Jack.
He is and fighting.
There is an extreme close-up on Milo's face. Yeah. An extreme close-up. It's something that we really haven't seen yet from This Is Us. But the way that the camera just easily moves around. It almost, Jack's face is moving and the camera is trying to keep up with him. Mm-hmm. He almost goes out of frame for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, not completely, but... Yeah. His eyes, or the rest of it, goes out of frame, and the fire that's burning is visually represented within this direction.
Agreed.
And because of that, oh man, I really like that. And I have to talk about the conversation with Jack's dad. What did you think about that?
I thought it was awesome.
I thought it was awesome. Why did you like it so much?
Well, because we've had all this time with this gross, terrible feeling about Jack's dad. And no matter what, he still is Jack's dad. You know, like when you are in a terrible relationship with your parents and the going gets really rough and someone is about to die, you may end up calling them, or you may end up checking up on them, or vice versa. You know, the fear of death makes you do these things. And it was very, you know, he probably hadn't been to church since he was with his dad.
Yeah, right.
You know, so for him to be like, what were you praying about? Because Jack maybe didn't learn how to pray post that age.
Yes.
Am I doing this right? You know, like, what even did my dad, like, just to hear a familiar voice.
Yep. It felt very... and deeply multi-layered. It felt extraordinarily tactile what was happening. Some great acting from both people. And the confidence within... This Is Us has gained so much confidence in its own story. I mean, flashbacks within flashbacks that have flashbacks with fast forwards. And as a viewer, it might be hard for you to keep up.
The continuity is bananas.
We're talking about a flashback with Jack and Rebecca giving birth to her kids, talking about a flashback with his dad that happened in church when he was a kid. And the fact that they are just comfortable with you doing that and with showing that, it is remarkable. And it goes to show you the kind of characters that they developed. You understand the pain that Jack is going through. And you can understand the reticence that Jack's dad has with this conversation, knowing that Jack is going through something but simply cannot communicate. The same way that Randall and Kevin cannot communicate.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
it's an inability to communicate.
You know, it was interesting during those flashbacks of Rebecca's birth and everything is I was like, thank goodness they have all this footage because they probably don't have to, then they don't have to test all these people and worry about them and being quarantined. They can really reuse a lot of the stuff, you know. And on that note, I think we should acknowledge like the elephant in the room that about, I don't know, an eighth or a tenth of this episode didn't make sense in 2020 because it was filmed before in regards to mask wearing.
Yeah, but you know what I'm going to say to that? I know you know what I'm going to say for that.
Yeah.
What is it?
Whatevs.
Stats are for nerds.
Yeah. So like when we watch that, because I saw a couple of people were like, well, it was so disjointed. That's something they obviously filmed beforehand. And one day when you get to binge watch All of This Is Us all over again, you are. You're just going to have to give grace to that moment. And yes. I think that that's it. We all need to acknowledge that was filmed before the outbreak.
Yes.
They weren't going to like refilm it and have it be same outfits, same walk, same discussion. But magically when you watch it again in a binge, you know, in a couple of years from now or whatever, like they suddenly had masks and then the next minute they don't, you know. It's just we just have to give them grace. So yeah,
I don't care, stats are for nerds.
I agree, but I just wanted to say that's our feeling.
I agree. It's like whatever the thing, if you want to talk about how the cop was inside the cabin and the cop wasn't wearing a mask or whatever, so what?
Yeah, that's what we just need to say, is that like it is what it is. They filmed that stuff before the virus, and hopefully we can just like give it the grace to be like, we know what happened and we're just going to pretend it's all has the continuity.
Right. And what matters most at the cabin is what those characters are going through. How these people are experiencing their life through the pandemic, through each other, especially when Randall finally shows up. That conversation between Randall and Kate, I think, is the high point of the episode. The conversation between Jack and his dad is a high point, but where do you fall in line? There are three really, actually, I would say four really important conversations that happen between Miggy and, what the heck's his name?
Kevin?
No.
What? There's only like five
Kate's,
people on this
Kate's
show.
Husband.
Toby.
Oh my, Toby, thank you.
The one day at a time?
Yeah, there's a, that's an important conversation.
That's a B-team conversation, though, to me.
Yeah, but that was a beautiful one.
It was. There's just a lot of other things that I cared more deeply about.
The Jack and his dad, Kate and Randall, and obviously Kevin and Randall. How would you rank those conversations? Like one to four.
Okay, so name them all off again. We got Miggy and Toby.
Miggy and Toby.
Yeah.
Jack and his dad.
Yeah.
Kate and Randall.
Yeah.
And Kevin and Randall.
Oh, okay. Bottom up, I would do Toby and Miggy, Jack and his dad, Kevin and Randall, Kate and Randall.
Why is Kate and Randall the top one for you?
Because I feel like Kate is many white Americans right now.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you, but I want you to amplify on that.
So when the video footage of George Floyd's death, you know, surfaced and the protests started and everything, I spent a lot of time doing soul searching on how I could be better and be active during a pandemic with my two young kids. What can I be doing? And I dealt with this a lot of just like complete awkwardness. And I'd be reaching out to my friends of color saying, I'm here for you and I love you. And please let me know what it is that I can do. You know, and I was educating my kids differently and I was talking with them as 7 and 5 year olds. But I didn't feel like I was doing enough. And I realized that I did not know enough even about this subject, you know? And I spent a lot of this summer and even now educating myself, but feeling very badly because I don't know what to say and I don't know what to do. And my heart is in pain for my friends and for people who are dealing with these issues and that it isn't resolved. And I felt for Kate. I wanted to cry with Kate because I'm trying and I still know that it's not enough. And I don't know, It made me think of like the blackout Tuesday, the black square.
Right.
And how, you know, a lot of people said, okay, everybody, like, go silent on social media and put up this black square on your wall. And, you know, that's us like standing together and, you know, representing that Black Lives Matter. And then there was this whole other faction of people. I remember I posted it because I was so upset. I was like, I need to do something. And I posted this square. And then that day I had seen one of my friends who's black, and she posted like this post just saying all these white girls just posting this black square thinking it's actually going to do something when I've had to deal with this all my life, and they're just going to take one day. And mind you, that was like such a small minority, you know, like a lot of my friends had taken all my messages and, you know, had said thank you or told me, you know, you can start listening to different artists, start following these different accounts. You know, they gave me other resources so that I could help the cause a bit more, but it's also not their job. It's not their job. And I think that that's part of the thing that Randall had to say is like, you've never asked me about this, but you guys just don't also know nor get it. And I need to go back to my family.
Yeah.
Because his family is dealing with it in a very, very different way.
Sure.
And I think that what's very interesting, and I said this to you last night, was how we spent that episode with Randall had he made a different college choice, mm-hmm. and had he made a different choice to hang out and kind of be more in the African-American culture of like the dancing and like who he would have ended up with and everything. And I don't know, it was just, as much as I wanted Randall to stay at the cabin to fix things with Kate and Kevin, I in my heart knew, no, he needs to go home to his family.
He's got to go home. He's got to be with his family. I mean, not only is there a pandemic, but I mean, all of these things that are surrounding them. We talked about the conversation with Malik and how Randall is struggling with what he's doing and who he is and finding a way to comprehend all of it. And I love how the episode begins with him telling Beth, listen,
shaking.
I'm okay. Yeah. See this? Look, I'm good. It's because I'm having two sessions per week virtually just to make sure that I'm good. But the episode ends with him saying, no, that's not right. I think that it's okay, but it's not right because I'm not comfortable talking about the things I still need to talk about.
I don't think that he says it's not right. He says he needs a different therapist, and he tells Beth he is okay, but that he's just sad. Oh. And I think that that is such a beautifully poignant thing. And that's why, like, as uncomfortable as this episode made us feel, as hard as it for us, because I know that that was one of the chief complaints, like, I watch TV to escape. Like, Randall justified the fact that it is okay for us right now to be sad. And there are joyful things going on in life. Madison's knocked up by Kevin, you know, like as Toby's reaction. Right, right. There's all, you know, there's all these other things. But like on the flip side, if you are sad right now and you're still mentally okay, you know, you're being checked on, you've got a support system, it is still okay to be sad. And to digest that sadness and to be in the sadness and having patience with that.
Right. By the way, when I said this isn't right, I didn't mean like he shouldn't be doing therapy. I meant having that therapist wasn't the right choice for him. The right choice
for right now.
Yes. Yeah. The right choice for right now is to move on to somebody that he can talk with and feel comfortable talking about these issues the same way that he was never comfortable talking about these issues with his family because he wanted to take care of them. And having him tell Kate that he is just exhausted and then tell Beth eventually, I'm just really sad.
Yeah.
That I think it perfectly encompasses what this means to the character. And that's why I say all of these things are rooted in how these people interact with each other. The relationships, Mary and Blake commandment. It's like the first commandment of Mary and Blake. Relationships, relationships, relationships. If you don't have viable relationships, why the hell are you watching the show or the movie or whatever you're doing?
You know, one of the things that I am interested about This Is Us is that in 20 years from now, you know, if our kids are like, let's watch an old-fashioned show, you know, and they put on This Is Us, what about these issues is going to be dramatically different when they're our age? And that they can look back on this and say, wow, that's how it was. And that's that, you know what I mean? Like we look back at, what was that? Was it My So-Called Life?
Yes.
Where it was like the first major television high school openly gay character, right? Mm-hmm. Was that it?
It might have been.
Like one of them, you know what I mean? And like delving into that, at least I think so.
Yep.
Right?
I can't remember now. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I didn't get to watch a lot of TV growing, but that's what I'm saying is that it is just interesting. And yes, you're going to see these relationships, but that's what it's rooted in. It's not just like thrown in there.
Yeah. So, okay. I think it's a perfect time capsule.
Yeah.
One that it's not a
perfect, but
no, it's not a completely accurate description of what is happening in the world right now. Right. It's not.
Yeah.
Because it can't be. It can't be all things, but it can be like a soda pop version of it where you like they tackle the major issues that are happening.
Soda pop's the right word either, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like
a glimpse.
It's a glimpse. It's a very condensed version of what is happening in the real world. Especially as it relates to these characters.
Okay, can we get out of the severity of these like issues and go to some more of the lighthearted stuff for a little bit?
Yes. So let's get out of that, but I do want to continue with Kevin.
Yeah.
Because as important as the real life stuff is, the importance of the relationship between Kevin and Randall, I think, is just as important to the show.
Yeah.
Right. So
they didn't even do their big three cheer.
No, they did not. They did not. A lot of the conversations happening in the forums right now is how could this frostiness keep going? Like, it doesn't feel right between the two brothers. It feels childish. It feels like it's too much. It's too much for television. Like, it's just there for the sake of being there. I would say, at least from my personal experience, I've had an extraordinarily tough and frosty, I would dare say adversarial relationship with one of my sisters, and now my dad, who refuses to talk to me, and of course my sister for the past 10 years. Has refused to talk to me.
Ever since you married me.
Yeah, pretty much. So I will say,
it happens.
It does happen. And I don't think those relationships, in my case, are ever going to be repaired. And I hope, for the sake of our characters, that their relationship is repaired. And the flash forwards, it still seems a little iffy.
Yes.
It still seems a little cold. But I don't know. I think that this is going to be the crux of This Is Us going forward. The relationship between the two brothers.
And that's why it's just very interesting, as I said, to be a fly on the wall in the writer's room. Like, wow, there's this whole new element that our society is now tackling.
Right.
And how does this affect, you know, a black 40-year-old man,
right,
in America right now, and how will we interweave this into his character, who has his own relationship issues, but he also has, you know, his own concerns that have nothing to do with Kevin. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot that's there, and it's almost too much. It's almost too much to just talk about. I loved that scene when Randall and Kevin are texting back and forth and they're being polite.
Yes. They're not being polite.
No, they are. They're being polite. Like, hey.
I didn't see it as polite. When you have one word with a period, I tell my mom, if you write text to me and it's just one word with a period, that is not polite. That is curt. If you want to write one word and not be curt, there needs to be an emoji.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is this. They're both
agree or disagree. When you write, hey, Mary, hope you like, sorry, I didn't put the dishes away, and I put, okay. Oh. Or if I just put, thanks.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I feel like that's a stranger talking to a stranger. That's what it feels like.
When I saw their texts, I saw it as curt.
I guess what the whole point of what I'm trying to say is, though, the fact that they're typing something, and it's like, it's more personal, and they're like, da 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 da, and then it just, they delete it. and then it turns out that the way that it's edited, it's just a one-word answer or whatever. You can see them struggling with the idea of, this is my brother. I have to be normal. But there's, trust me, I've lived this. There's just something there that prevents you from being normal. You can't do it.
It's because the texts, people don't know how to talk to each other.
The texts that I share with my sister every single year are happy birthday and Merry Christmas. Each, she says it to me, I say it to her, and there's a thanks back. It's a living...
With no emoji.
No emoji.
Telling you.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Blake.
But I'm being polite.
That question. No, it's not polite. It is curt. Polite would have an emoji. I think you and I have different definitions of polite.
Brittany here on Facebook says they used periods. You don't do that.
Thank you,
Oh, man. So, yeah.
Can we have a moment?
Yes, absolutely.
For Kevin's pregnancy announcement.
Oh, that was awesome. What are these words that you are saying right now?
I honestly, like, I go hot and cold with Toby.
Sure.
I feel like Toby was all of us last season when Madison said, I'm pregnant.
Yeah. That was probably the fan response.
That was all of us. What? What's Madison doing here? What?
Why is Madison getting out of the car? What are we doing?
Did you knock Madison up? Like... That was all of us last season finale.
Oh, man. Yeah, totally, totally, totally. And the way that it all played out, even the little head fake with Kate, how she looked upset, but then obviously was not upset. Nice little head fake.
Madison, who has an exceptional collection of Japanese artifacts, which let me tell you, as someone who traveled to Asia for studying, I don't know how she shipped all that stuff back.
What do you mean?
Remember how much stuff I came back from Bali with?
Oh, yes.
That doesn't even come remotely close to how much stuff she brought back.
I would. That's a lot of crap.
A lot of
And it's of aggressively.
Shipping.
It's aggressively a lot.
Yeah. Wouldn't that just be a great story if she's like, oh, yeah, I studied in Japan. Like, she's lying and she just got it off of, like, orientaltrading.com.
How do you feel about, let's just call them Kevison.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I mean,
we're
getting a lot of people here in the chat saying it.
How do we feel about their relationship compared to all of the other relationships Kevin's had?
I'm sorry.
My fave.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. I like Sophie.
Sophie who?
But Sophie, there's too much baggage there now.
Way too much.
The thing with...
Because I was on the Sophie train.
You were on the Sophie train. And there was random girl number one, and there was random girl number two, and you know those were a bunch of log carriers. You know that's all they are. This feels different. You don't give this kind of momentum to a character, especially when she says something along the lines of, "I don't see those things as broken pieces."
Well, both of these characters have serious issues that they are still currently working through, mm-hmm. and they know that about each other.
Yeah.
Like, he knows about her eating disorder, and she knows about him being in recovery for, you know, battling alcoholism. And yet they just like appreciate each other, and mm-hmm. it's much very simplicity. Like, she doesn't see him as this big like movie star. Like, I loved her. He's like, oh, I'm gonna rent this giant house, you'll have your own wing, and she's like, yeah, I'm actually cozy here.
Yeah within a short 20 minutes, mm-hmm. I already like Madison much better than the log carriers and Sophie.
Oh yeah.
And I think bringing Sophie back last season is
red herring.
Well, it's red herring, but it's important to how Kevin sees his potential relationship with Madison.
Okay, yeah.
He has to earn it.
Well, and it's so funny is that like when we saw the finale, we were like, no, like don't sleep with her. Oh my gosh. And like you said, within 20 minutes, we're just like choo-choo on the Madison train.
Absolutely.
Get that RV and drive for 20 days, because that's what they did. Not for 20 days, but they drove for a long time.
They quarantined for 20 days.
Yeah, but they drove from LA to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so whatever. It's
she's pregnant, oh, but maybe she got to pee in the camper.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
No, because Kevin goes glamping.
Oh, you're right.
Kevin glamps. He does not camp.
She was like, I get this little camper. And he's like, honey, I actually own a camper. Yeah, and we're going to get an even better one.
Yeah, we're going to get the 40 footer with the king size
campers.
Bed.
I know campers.
I really like how they interact with each other. It's still nervous. It's still like how when he said, it's a beautiful thing. It's the juxtaposition between Jack and Rebecca's relationship, how it was formed. It's this grand gesture of love. Mm-hmm. It's against all the odds. We're going to persevere. And then Kevin and Madison are just, okay, I'm pregnant. You know what? Screw it. Let's get married. Let's just do it.
All in.
I'm jumping in.
2020, man.
And to be honest, that feels organic.
Agreed.
It feels organic. And it kind of reminded me of Up almost. With it, in Up, that first 5 minutes was more emotional and more cathartic and more devastating than the entire Twilight saga. For 8 hours of film, right? Within 3 minutes of Up, you have an entire relationship that devastates you.
And Edward who?
Right, I know. Hold on. Where's my button? Where's my button? I don't have it. Oh, no. I don't have my say it out loud button.
Did you mean to do this?
Oh, no, I did not mean to do that.
Sorry, Rachel.
Okay. I'm saying the way that this has transpired in the first 20 minutes of this episode, it's excellent. And I'm on board Madison train now. I'm on board.
Good.
I think I have a hot take about that.
You know whose train I'm starting to not be on?
Who?
Miguel's.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
Oh.
I kind of am.
How can you be out on Miggy?
Okay, so I guess I'm not like out. I'm just meh.
Okay. All right, fair enough. So
okay, so we like cut down a tree. Okay, first off, he's no Jack, okay? Can we just like proclaim it? He's no Jack.
Definitely not Jack.
I still haven't had their courtship episode, which I desperately need. I appreciate
putting Jack's name with Miggy is
shame.
Seriously. Like, I appreciate Miggy's enthusiasm for holidays. I truly do. As a loyal elf myself, like, I appreciate his love of inflatables and desire to be Pilgrim Rick. But aside from that, Miggy, you're the B team. And you're pretty much like a Toby right now. Like, you know what he is? He's your stepdad. He's your stepdad seeing him kiss your mom. And you're like, oh, this is weird. And then he remembers that she's not supposed to take that medicine. Oh, yeah, I do remember that on the list. Oh, I was in Randall mode right there.
Listen, did Miggy drop the ball?
Yep.
Did he drop the ball?
Yep.
Yes. Drop the ball.
Yep.
But I'm not out on him.
I'm not out.
I'm not even meh on him.
I am.
You cannot be meh on somebody who wants to wear the hat.
Rachel says we should call him Meh Gel.
No, he's Miggy Stardust. That's who he is. He is
not
that
right
special.
Now.
He is that special.
They need us to love Miguel like we just suddenly fell in love with Kevin's fiance.
They will. And you know what's going to happen?
Will there be inflatables?
There's going to be so many inflatables.
I hope so, because that would bring joy.
There's going to be an entire episode dedicated to inflatables. Guaranteed. No, it will be the Rebecca and Miguel relationship episode. It will be how it all began. And I feel like we're going to get more of it throughout various episodes. There won't just be one. I think there's going to be bits and pieces of it. And the show is doing something that I did not think it was capable of doing.
Tell me.
Which is making it less Jack-centric.
They have to.
But they were so dependent. And you can still sense it. You can still sense how integral Jack is to the show. Because when he's on screen, it's fire.
But also, that's what Rebecca's afraid of forgetting, are her memories of her time with Jack and the kids. Mm-hmm. That's what she's afraid of forgetting. And I think that that's why we need to have Jack woven in, because with her memories leaving and with the fact that Jack is no longer here, we don't have Jack. So we rely upon those memories of hers.
Sure. And I really hope one of the things that they do is that when Rebecca is out in the world, kind of like how they did with William, that she sees Jack in certain places.
Oh, like Rebecca's just going to be seeing peeps all over. Mind you, we only know a few people.
Right. I think that...
Maybe she'll see Army Girl. What's her name again?
Cassidy.
Yeah.
Hashtag who are they?
Seriously. At least there was Malik. Because who were the three people we were supposed to meet? It was Malik, Cassidy, and then there was someone else.
There was the neighbor. The neighbor showed up again. Gregory, he showed up.
So get this. Cassidy's not in this episode.
No, but she's coming back.
Gregory's just, what's up? What is up with Gregory?
Okay. He was little, like, serial killer-ish, just standing there.
Do we still think that he's going to be a reason that Kate and Toby aren't together in the future?
No, I don't.
Here's another thing. Can we make a movement right now for any writers listening? Can you please not kill Kate? 2020's been really hard. So if that was a route you were thinking of
Kate's
going...
Kate's dying, kid. No, Kate is dying.
No, I think we need to start a petition that we've gone through enough loss in 2020. Please don't kill Kate. We already know Rebecca's dying. Okay? Give us Kate. Or else there won't be a big three cheer. And we need at least one big
three. We need one more. We need one more. Hey, about Rebecca and Miggy. This is kind of some of the...
You don't think that they should save her after all our country's been through?
No. No. Go with the story that you're trying to...
Go with the story you're trying to tell.
About Rebecca.
Cater to your merry audience.
Rebecca and Miggy. Dan Fogelman says this. Obviously, it's something that's happening to many people all over the country and all over the world right now, where health plans are being either postponed or irreparably changed, meaning her trial in St. Louis has been canceled.
Yes.
It's possible that Rebecca and Miguel could be in St. Louis for part of our season next year, he says. Having said that, it becomes a bigger part of the season in the back half of this season and heading into next, where you're really experiencing post-Jack, this courtship period, that what came to pass between both Rebecca and Miguel. We have big plans for them as well in the sixth season of the show. What do you think about that, Mary?
I think they can kill Miggy instead.
He ain't there in the future.
Hey!
You know what? Mary was right. Bam!
Just like that. A winner! I mean, I like him, but he's meh. So, great. I'm glad that that's on tap, Dan. Thank you very much, Mr. Fogelman.
Yeah, Dan Fogelman was also asked about Madison's prenatal care. If you recall, the season four finale introduced the characters of Madison's OBGYN, Eli, and his horse whisperer teenage daughter, Sadie.
Oh, yeah, those people.
We were supposed to see more of Eli this season, but of course, with COVID and how they had to alter the show, he is not in it, obviously. And Fogelman says that's one of the few things that we had to change a little bit. It's complicated, as Fogelman had a baby during the quarantine.
Yay!
And it really changes what doctor's appointments look like and feel like. My hope is to see those characters again. But he is unclear on a couple of the logistical things that have to happen in order for that to
go. In our live chat right now, I'm getting lots of hate for saying, take Miguel instead.
Take it back.
Don't kill anybody, okay? They all need the Sorcerer's Stone for the Elixir of Life, and all will be well.
You know, one of the things that actually happens, too, in this episode is that there is a great balance. There's a great balance between... very serious stuff.
Yes.
There's a great and balancing that with a lot of the really lighthearted, funny
stuff. Like seven-layer lasagna? Were you craving that?
Absolutely!
Like what are these seven layers?
We're going to get into that.
And does everyone in her family like lasagna because Jack liked lasagna?
Maybe.
I don't even know, but I'm hungry.
I'm so hungry right now. Layered on top of all the serious stuff.
Oh, layered like lasagna. Continue.
There's great balance there. Yes. And not only is there great balance with all of the COVID stuff, but all of the flashbacks give us enough normalcy where it doesn't feel like the COVID of it all is absolutely in your face. So when we see Kevin and Madison in the office and she's worried and they're getting out the prod and the whole thing.
It's not a prod.
What
it's for the ultrasound
league. Stats are for nerds.
Imagine, stats are not for nerds if you've had that situation.
While Kevin, it has this big grand gesture of love and, you know what, let's just get married. Do you trust me? Everything's going to be okay.
It's like Aladdin.
That's true. Do you trust me? We have the flashbacks that where people are just interacting and there's no masks and they're hugging and it felt right. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, COVID. It was both. It felt appropriate for what they're trying to accomplish. And I like that balance. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about in this episode?
When do you think we'll see Jack?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, they can't get another baby actor in there if we don't get to see Jack, but we're going to be meeting this pregnant lady for a little while. So there is no baby right now. I don't think we're going to see Jack for a while. I think it's just one less person to be around Mandy Moore.
I can't believe you're meh about Miggy.
Why can't you believe that?
Oh, because he did the Appleseed thing, and he's acknowledging the fact that he's going to have the next 6 to 10 years.
No,
and it's going to be amazing.
No.
No?
Have you ever tried to grow an apple tree?
Nope.
These things are so fickle, okay? You need to buy the sapling. Like, you need to get a pre-made tree.
Oh, man.
Do you think Miguel, like, no. No. This isn't like science class, Miguel. Does he even know what kind of seeds those are?
Yes, I'm sure that he does. He probably ate the apple and he took the seeds out of the apple.
Well, he didn't read the label of the medicine bottle, so I don't know if I can trust his judgment.
Good point.
It's probably like a foreign apple that doesn't even grow in the Pennsylvania climate.
Touche, Mary. Touche. Your faith in Miggy has gone way down.
As has Randall's.
That's true. That's true. And that's kind of deserved, to be fair. Kind of deserved. And people were saying that Randall stomped all over Miggy during this conversation. And I disagree. I mean, yeah, he went on him a little bit, but Miggy deserved it.
He just needed to be on the phone with the doctor. Randall knew, like, no, I need to step over this. It was, okay, so I'll be real. It was very kind. I like that Miggy is integrated in the family, especially as close to Toby. And if Beth was there, you know that they'd be having the other three kind of conversation. So I appreciate it. I don't hate him. I'm just meh. Okay? Is that fair? I don't want him to die. I take it back.
Elizabeth says on Facebook, Miggy is pure of heart.
He is. And he just needs the holidays.
It was very romantic. He's like, I know you love this, so you just don't judge me. Don't judge my lasagna, but I made this for you. Like, while she's up there sleeping.
What are you thinking he even made it of? And did he touch her vegetables, which she told him not to touch?
Of course. He had to touch the vegetables.
Miggy.
Hey, how about the poison ivy being a total red herring?
Like, what do you mean?
Like when she was like, oh, it's just poison ivy, don't worry about it. Like, it makes sense what happened, but I thought the poison ivy was like something else. Like, ooh, it's not just poison ivy, it's like something that happens to people. I don't know.
No idea.
I just
rolled with it.
All right. You ready for In or Out, Mary?
Yes.
I love In or Out. I've Good. Missed In or Out. Okay, go ahead.
Oh. The In or Out section.
I'm on Burgundy.
There's Read the script, Mary.
Except all it says is Minute with Mary sponsorship.
Oh, my goodness.
This portion of the episode is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. And for those of you who don't know, in addition to podcasting, I help people feel more confident and creative when it comes to their makeup and their skincare. And in November, I'm running for a massive, massive promotion. I actually haven't had a promotion in this company in 3 years. It's taken me a long time. I've been building up my business a great deal, and I tried to run in March, and then the pandemic hit. So I've decided to reach for the stars and run for a double promotion. So if at any point in the month of November you would like some skincare or a little makeup, maybe a tad bit of mascara, please reach out to me. And if you're on Facebook, please make sure to search the hashtag Minute with Mary to get inside my VIP group. Once again, this hashtag is Minute with Mary.
What's it gonna be, McFly? Are you in or out?
All right, Marvin, in or out? Oh, God, I've missed In or Out. In or Out's the best.
Okay.
In or Out on those cakes that are like really realistic things, like cans of soup or whatever, but they're cake instead of the can of soup.
I'm super in. It was something that would calm me down while I was binging the episodes of Tiger King. So I will always think of those cakes as April in the 2020 pandemic.
Some of them are extraordinarily good. Like,
yeah,
you look at it. That's a shoe.
Yeah,
that's a shoe, and you know, no, that's just
cake. Probably tastes gross though.
I don't see how, because it's all buttercream. If it's not buttercream,
no,
it's fondant.
The cake itself, like the cake inside.
How could the cake is great?
Okay,
cake is great no matter what you do to it.
I will disagree on that. I've tasted some bad cakes.
that's a fair point. Some of them are really bad though. Some people, like, you can tell try and they just fail miserably.
Aww.
I seen one with a soccer ball. That was crazy. All right. In or out. on the news. You saw Randall with the family watching all the news, yep. And it was like, I feel like that was a thing that they did constantly, which reminds me of someone that I know.
Oh, hey,
that may or may not be in this room with me.
Hey, yeah.
And out over-newsed herself.
Yeah.
So, Mary.
Yes.
In or out on over-newsing yourself?
Out. Randall, yeah. Put down the clicker.
Don't watch the news.
You know what? Well, you know what I've been doing is I give myself like 2 big news days a week. And aside from that, I ask Alexa. I say, Alexa, tell me today's news. And it's 3 minutes.
This is the news for Thursday morning.
Yes.
And the other thing that I've done is if Alexa starts to make me feel really bad, I say, Alexa, tell me some good news. And guess what?
What?
Like Wolverine population.
Okay.
They're bouncing back. There's more Wolverines in the world right now.
All right.
Bam. Yeah. Just like that.
That's great. And I'm pretty sure that they got Tasmanian devils off of Tasmania and brought back to the Australian mainland, which they haven't been there for 300 years.
Wow. By the way, have to call this out. When they flipped over to the Family Feud, I think that was on purpose. It wasn't just, hey, look, it's Family Feud, or it's just this random thing. Family Feud, of course, being what is happening between both Randall and Kevin. And by the way, a white family going against a black family in Family Feud, what they saw.
Yes.
So I just want to point that out. That is something it's just one of those subconscious things that I think the show is trying to show you. Great stuff. All right, in or out, frozen burgers.
How is this even in here?
Because Malik brought frozen burgers to cook for Deja.
Oh, I'm down with frozen burgers.
I'm in on frozen burgers.
Yeah.
I'm in on Bubba burgers, but my new favorite are Bo Jackson burgers.
They are quite delicious.
Bo Jackson, that Bo Jackson, for that we all know and love, has his own burger. And for 6 burgers are $12.99, which is a lot of bread, but they are so worth it. They're amazing. Hashtag not a sponsor. In or out, poison ivy.
Love it.
I am out on poison ivy.
I can roll around in it, make a little bed out of it. Yeah. And yet somehow it was never my job to like go take it out of my backyard.
No.
My dad and my brother are highly allergic and they always had to take care of it. Not me.
I have no idea why poison ivy even exists. What is the point? All it does is just make people miserable. Number one, not only am I a member, I'm the president of the anti-poison ivy club.
Okay.
I still have scars from poison ivy.
In or out.
All right. In or out on Robert Pattinson as Batman.
In.
I am way in on that.
God, say it with your Batman voice. Except he has corona.
No, he doesn't. Who does? No,
someone on his staff.
No, Robert Pattinson had.
Oh.
Yeah, he had the rona.
But, he did not get the same reaction as Tom Hanks did.
By the way, this is
poor
a
Robert.
This is a late. Okay? This is a late. Say it out loud.
Say it. Is he okay now? Out loud.
Yeah, no, he's fine. He's okay.
Sure?
He's okay. They're going to resume filming again.
Can I Google? Is Robert Pattinson okay, Siri?
Swear to me.
Is Robert Pattinson okay? Yes, I like Robert Pattinson.
I don't personally know Robert Pattinson.
Oh, Siri.
Thanks, Siri.
Worthless.
You suck.
Okay, Robert Pattinson is Batman. Brooding, just emotional.
So much great brooding. I am in on our
shoot, my other Siri's trying to ask me. Thanks, Siri, you suck in that one. And this one said, that's not nice.
So much great
Siri
brooding.
Siri is out on me.
And because Siri's way out on you, and because our Pat has the coronavirus, he doesn't have to change his voice. That's just how it is from now on.
That is not a good joke.
In or out on Justin Hartley as being Batman.
He's too nice.
Yeah.
He smiles too much.
I think he could do Bruce Wayne. I don't think he could do Batman.
I mean, let's be real. Like, how often is it actually that actor in the suit versus a stunt person?
No, most of the time.
No.
I'm just saying. It doesn't matter.
I bet they're like, I don't really want to get sweaty in that thing. Mm-hmm. So how about Bob does it?
Hey, Bob. Bob, get over here. No, I don't want Jim. Bob. In or out.
7-layer lasagna.
In or out on 7-layer lasagna.
In.
I don't want any weird vegetables in it.
There's always weird vegetables in lasagna.
Don't want it. No.
You eat the vegetables when it's in our lasagna.
Give me sauce, maybe some ricotta cheese.
Ricotta.
And some extra cheese, some mozzarella, and beef. That's it. Just give me 7 layers of beef, ricotta,
that's not
pasta.
Rebecca's lasagna.
No. I don't even want the tomato chunks. I don't even want that. In or out on Chris Evans.
In.
I'm in on Chris Evans. Yeah. You want to know why? He's a local guy. He's a Boston kid.
Hey.
He gets it.
What a guy.
In or out on Apollo 13 as Tom Hanks' best movie?
Out.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you say is better?
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
Well, what?
First off, like, I love him in any romantic comedy, okay?
You've Got Mail?
Oh, yes.
In or out on You've Got Mail better than Sleepless in Seattle?
Sleepless in Seattle is better.
Oh, we are so... Nope. I'm out on that.
Okay.
You've Got Mail's way better than Sleepless in Seattle.
Fine, because that's like our love story.
That's
fine.
True. Yes.
You've Got Mail. But I love Big, and
Big is great.
Love Forrest Gump. Like, I just love him, Forrest Gump.
If you wanted to argue,
Saving Private Ryan.
If you wanted to argue that Big is better than Apollo 13,
yeah,
I might be on board.
Like, Apollo 13 is not one of my top five favorite Tom Hanks movies.
It has everything. He's funny in it.
Okay, how about Toy Story?
Serious?
Funny, serious.
No, different.
Yep. Woody is very serious when he thinks that he is being... No,
different.
When
Way
Buzz
different.
Lightyear comes into the
it's
story...
It's animation.
Woody is...
I need Tom Hanks' face.
Why are we discussing this, okay? Let's move on. Hot takes.
All right. You ready for hot takes?
Yes.
All right, let's get it. You have a hot take?
I mean, I also love him in The Burbs.
The Burbs is great. That is an underrated Tom Hanks film. That, like, I would dare say that's top five.
I know. It's above Apollo 13.
Oh.
Sorry.
I don't know
not
about
sorry.
That. All right, you ready for...
you know what one is not my top five? The one where he's stuck in the airport for a long time.
Oh, The Terminal?
It was fun, but like not one of my top five.
Yeah, The Terminal's not a great movie. You know, as a matter of fact, I would say...
Not great, Bob!
What's your hot take, Blake?
Do you have one?
I already said, Jack's not going to be here for
a while. Well, you got to let me play the music first, Marvin.
Well, I already like...
you know, it's been a while since we've done this. All right, go ahead.
Jack's gonna nap a lot this season.
That is not a hot take. That is
sure
like
is.
That's like just above lukewarm.
Okay. Hey, you know who was in this episode?
Who?
Peggy. Angelica.
Oh, that's right. Peggy was in the episode.
Peggy. She got the remote control. She got the con.
A lot of people are saying for the popular thought.
Okay.
The popular hot take is that Randall's new therapist will be his mother. I hope on everything that is holy, that is not the case. I don't know how they're going to handle Randall's mother, but that shall not be it. I really hope not.
Agreed.
My hot take is this.
Maybe they go on Ancestry.com and Beth is like, you know what? Let's find some more of your family members. Give me some of your spit and I'll send it off and we'll find your family. And then they find the family. There you go. Everybody's... doing weird things in the computer right now because of the Rona.
What if his... Here's a hot take.
Yeah.
Here's a hot take. What if his mother is part of the protests and something happens to her and they have her fingerprints and Randall, as a councilman of the area where she lives, like, she recognizes Randall somehow, some way. Or... Randall's telling his story to somebody and that story gets disseminated because he's now a councilman.
Yeah, and his story is like his big thing that he always shares.
Right. And
interesting.
Something happens to her and he has to come rescue
That's
her.
That's much more feasible than my spit idea. Okay.
Another potential thing here.
Okay.
As much as I like Madison, she ain't sticking around.
You think she's going to die too?
No, I don't think she's going to die, but I don't think it's going to work out between she and Kevin. They're jumping in. As much as I love it, as much as I want it to work, I don't think it's going to work.
I hope for Kevin's sake it does.
I hope so too. All right.
Then why even put that in the universe?
Because
poor Madison is their only friend. Aside from Weird Gregory.
Final thoughts on this episode,
so weird.
Bobbin? Final thoughts.
He probably looks at pictures of feet every day.
Maybe he's the one who created the boot website for you, Mary.
Goodness. I don't know. I don't get a great vibe. No, I don't have any other final thoughts.
My final thought is I really liked this episode.
Concur.
I really enjoyed it. It was cathartic. It was well written.
Agreed.
It was extremely well crafted, as most of This Is Us episodes are.
Mm-hmm.
The ending, of course, is what it is. And I have to say it. I would have killed Outlander for it. I would have just raked it up and down the coals for something of that nature. So I have to do the same thing for This Is Us.
You already raked for long enough in the beginning of this episode.
But it is what it is. So
I can't believe I married a pessimist.
But I really liked this episode, and I think it's a great jumping off point for the rest of this. Each character had their moment. The characters that matter, right? The big three, the other three have moments.
Rebecca
has a moment. Miggy has a moment, obviously. And obviously Madison has a moment here too. So it was a great jumping off point, and I can't wait to see where they go next. All right, you ready to close this bad boy out?
Sure am.
All right, let's do it. Oh my God, I almost hit the Harry Potter close out button. Here we go.
We want to thank all of you.
I thought I hit you.
It's all good, Blake. We want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to this podcast episode. We know that it's been a while, and we're truly appreciative. And one of the biggest things that you can do for us is spread the word, because podcasts are most found through word of mouth.
Yes.
So share it on your wall, your story, screenshot while you're listening, and tell people to check it out. Another thing that you can do for us is head on over to your podcast app and leave us a written review and 5-star rating. Preferably if you can go on iTunes, as that's kind of the main hub of where people go. We would love to be the top This Is Us podcast. Currently, we have 165 ratings, and I would love to, by the next episode, get to 170. And I'm going to read for you one of the most recent ratings. It is from RamFam 1211. I love Mary and Blake. I feel like you both are my relationship goals. I found you with Outlander cast and rewatched and binge listened to 5 years worth of you and loved every minute of it and cried when it was over. Then thank goodness I found This Is Us 2 and the Potterverse. I want to move to Rhode Island and be neighbors with you and be best friends forever. You guys have saved my sanity and given me happiness in so many levels. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. And I will say, that just warms my heart. So everybody go to jointhenerdclan.com, become an official member over there, where you get all kinds of cool stuff. And in advance, we are going to be telling you that after each episode that we record, we will be doing an After Doc show, where it's just Mary and I riffing on This Is Us, and it'll be live, and only members at jointhenerdclan.com get access to that. So,
that's right. Well, my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And This Is Us, too.